T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America. Yeah. Woo. Thanks for, thanks for coming on with us. This will be a fun hour. There's a lot of political stuff that I'm going to push to the next hour because, you know, quite frankly, I did too much of it yesterday and I don't feel like we need to do a ton of it right now. And this hour is going to be a little different. Yesterday was the launch of the Scientology television network. I talked about it on the show. Did you miss it? That's okay if you did. But if you missed it, I do want to let you know that it's not that exciting. To me, the network is like, okay, since I'm here in the studio, since I do an overnight show, I get to see what 2 a.m. television programming looks like. It's not all that spectacular. It's like infomercials and, you know, this prepackaged stuff. And it's really bland. And that's what I think the Scientology Network looks like. It's a, here, you know, we moved into this neighborhood and look at it now. The crime went down and there's no more bars on the windows and it's a community. And hey, let's go look at what we're doing over in Haiti. Or hey, let's go look at what we're doing over in this country. And it's not like you wouldn't know that it's, I guess, Scientology propaganda just by watching it, at least the parts I watched. To me, it just looks like, here's a mission report. Please give us money. It looked like one of those programming things. So I said, on Twitter? I asked people at Twitter, I've never talked to a Scientologist. On this radio program, we have talked to people that believe the earth is flat, the flat earthers. I have talked to a Nazi on this radio. I mean, a literal Nazi on this radio program. But I've never talked to a Scientologist, and I've always wondered what it was like. Because I've seen the documentaries. There was one on HBO called Going Clear, and it was like, I always knew it was weird, but this kind of made it even more weird. So I put it out there. I said, I'd love to talk to a Scientologist. So I got a message from a person by the name of Stephen Mango. He's over in California. He's a YouTuber. He's an actor. And he used to be in the Church of Scientology for 4 years. He moved out in California when he was 18 and immediately got sucked into it. 4 years later, and $50,000 later, he finally left the church. $50,000 later. Some of the things they were doing to him, his account of what goes on in the inside is fascinating. So this hour, and actually right after the break here, we're going to be talking to Stephen Mango, his experience in the Church of Scientology. I wanted to thank a few people, including Johnny Rabbit, who I met up with earlier today to go through the St. Louis Mercantile Library. The exhibit that they have right now is Headlines of History, historic newspapers of St. Louis and around the world through the centuries in the St. Louis Mercantile Library. Mercantile? Yeah, I'm saying that. But the whole exhibit that they have is just so neat. You can go onto the SLU campus, the Jefferson Library, and you go down below is where they have the exhibit at. And it is so neat. So I walked through with Johnny Rabbit, and he is someone that's a big supporter of the library there and of the exhibit and the Mercantile Library Association and everything with it. And it was so cool that he thought that I would enjoy something like this, and he wanted to walk me through it. And I was asking him all kinds of questions. I was like, you know, what was St. Louis like during this time? And he worked in the newspaper industry for a while. What was it like doing this? Do you remember when this happened? And he gave me all kinds of great information that I had no idea originated here in St. Louis. One of the things that stood out to me was the artwork that these reporters and these illustrators were drawing specifically for the newspaper. You don't get to see that much anymore. You know, I got the Weatherbird and cool stuff like that. But you think about the amount of time and effort it takes to draw a poster-sized cartoon or a political cartoon or whatever it may be, a commentary, and then they shrink it down for the newspaper. But some of the original hand-drawn things are just so beautiful and gorgeous. It's like You just don't see that anymore. If you see it in a newspaper, it's normally coming from a national standpoint and they syndicate it to all these newspapers and they air it. But to say that they had all of this, these wonderful talents doing all these things after all these years, some of the artwork, just for the artwork alone, it's cool. And then the cartoons, like at the old Sunday morning cartoons, which are really cool. I had to ask Johnny, I said, did they ever have someone in St. Louis that would read the cartoons on Sunday morning over the air? Because some radio stations used to do that back in the day. They would get the Sunday morning funny pages and they would read it for the kids. Like they'd open it up and then they would read it and describe what they were doing. And for whatever reason, the kids loved it. The parents loved it, you know, because the kids were listening to the Sunday morning cartoons. But some stations did it, some didn't. I guess there wasn't any here in St. Louis. But then there were some great historical photos. Dewey beats Truman. Do you ever see that photo where he's holding up the newspaper and makes it look like Dewey won the president? See, I didn't know that was taken right at Union Station. That's one of the most historic political photos in the history of the world. He's holding up the newspaper, and it was right here in St. Louis. But they have an exhibit of photos. They have an exhibit of all these different newspapers. You can read some of them. They actually have the newspaper from Philadelphia the day after the Declaration of Independence was released. And the newspaper gives their commentary of what was just released, and then they print the Declaration of Independence. This is in Philadelphia. That is one of the coolest front-page newspapers I've ever seen. And that's just a small sample of some of the things you'll find in that exhibit, which goes on through the rest of the year. What I would recommend is you go check it out. And if you haven't actually been to the St. Louis Mercantile Library, go do it. Just go do it. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I think it goes up until next year. So just go enjoy it. Just enjoy it. I don't know if the kids would like it. I liked it. You might have to be an adult. My three-year-old wouldn't like it. But if you have like kids that are, you know, maybe middle school to high school, they could probably dig it based on some of the historical things you'll see. Yeah, field trip it. Take a field trip out there. But I wanted to share that, and I had a great experience. I wanted to thank Johnny Rabbit for meeting me out there and giving me the tour, my tour guide, Mr. History, Johnny Rabbit. All right, coming up, Stephen Mango. He is someone that left Scientology. He's going to give me his experience of what it was like being in there now that they've launched a television network. And this is what boggles my mind. Someone like Glenn Beck, for example, he launches the Blaze Network. He couldn't buy himself onto a DirecTV or something like that. I mean, he was begging and wanted to throw as much money as he could to get on the distribution of things like that. They wouldn't let him do it. Scientology, they give him a channel just like that. I don't understand it. So they have their own network. You can watch it on satellite. You can stream it online. All these other, you can go onto your digital devices. I'll save you the time. It's not that spectacular. You must be super bored to want to see it. But I was more about the background. I wanted to know more about what it was like inside the Church of Scientology, because I have no idea. So someone reached out to me on social media. His name is Stephen Mango. He used to be what they would call a poster boy for it, as in they used him in their advertising during the time he was into it. He's no longer in it. Very jaded look at it. We're going to get his experience coming up next on Overnight America KMOX.
Keeping you up and making you think. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Joining us now, actor, YouTuber, drama channel you can find on YouTube, Stephen Mango, joining us on KMOX. Hey, Stephen, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yesterday, the Church of Scientology launched a television program, not even a program, a network. So they have a whole lineup of programs. And I started talking about it on social media, on Twitter. I was a little bit curious of what their programming would look like. And I mentioned I've never actually talked to someone that's ever been associated or known anything about the church. And then you messaged me and said, let me make sure, you used to be in the church, but you're not in it anymore?
I used to. I was a parishioner at their Celebrity Center, which is their celebrity branch in Hollywood, because I was an up-and-coming actor, so I got involved with their Celebrity Center division.
Mm.
And it's kind of funny that a church has a celebrity department. That's a whole nother story, but
yeah.
I was a parishioner for 4 years at their Scientology Celebrity Center.
Okay.
And obviously when I found you, I was looking on Twitter for the reaction on what the Scientology network is, what other people are saying about it. And that's kind of how I found you, and here we are.
Yeah, from the programming I saw, it was very bland. To me, it would look like what you would normally see airing at like a 2 a.m. through an overnight when they're trying to fill some programming. There wasn't really anything there that seems out of the ordinary of what I would have expected. But I'm more curious about your experiences. How did you, so you got involved because of your acting? Was it your parents that got you involved, or did you seek out to them?
I sought out Scientology myself, but basically I moved out to L.A. when I was 18 years old. This was back in 2009, and I came across an ad in an acting industry paper. It was called How to Break into the Industry, and they host these type of workshops at their celebrity center since they're always trying to recruit in the, you know, yes, famous names, but they're also looking for the up-and-comers that they can kind of groom into being a star that will hopefully be a poster boy for Scientology. So I saw this workshop, $20, book and lecture course it would be. I went there thinking I was getting some advice to how to get an agent, how to get a manager, how to get in the Screen Actors Guild, like all these different things they were promising help with. And yes, they talked about it for a couple minutes at the beginning of their seminar, but it's a recruiting and one of their biggest recruitment methods in LA for recruiting new people into Scientology. So I thought I was taking a $50 book and lecture course, you know, and I did end up signing up for Scientology courses. And over the course of the 4 years I was in Scientology, I gave $50,000 on books, courses, lectures, everything. So,
you went in for this introductory class, and from there, what happened? They say you need to take more advanced classes and more and more and more, and then eventually they kept upcharging you every time you took a new class?
Well, basically, they love bomb you at first. They tell you how amazing you are, how special you are. And remember, I'm an 18-year-old kid who moved to L.A. without really the support of many people because I'm doing something creative. And they're telling me, like, you can be a star. We can help you become the next Tom Cruise and something like that. So I'm like, wow, like, this is so amazing. Like, these people believe in me and they think I'm special. Mm-hmm. But then they asked me and they said, well, you know, what do you feel is holding you back? It's called your ruin in Scientology. What is ruining your life? And once they find out what is holding you back, there's a course for that. So for me, I could say, you know, maybe I'm a little bit shy. Maybe I have difficulty communicating with people, or I'm kind of depressed. Well, Steve, we have all these courses that can help you. And don't you agree that once we can handle this, like once we can handle this problem for you, don't you think that you'll be more successful, that you will be the actor you want to be, or whatever, your life will be better? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. Well, you know, we have the tools, because they sell it as like a self-improvement course. We have all these different courses for any area of your life, whether it's relationships, anything. We can basically pair you up with the right courses so you can become a better person. So I just thought I was signing up for, you know, some self-help courses, and then it turned out to be this whole entire world that I didn't know I was really getting myself involved in.
Wow. Okay. So did you actually actively start attending services through the church? Because I really don't know what they believe, or if there is actually, like, you know, when I think of church, I think, you know, on Sundays you go out to a service, whatever your beliefs are. Was it something like that?
Well, basically Scientology is based on courses. So you go on course, they want you there at least 2.5 hours every single day, but you know, I was ending up there from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at night. You get kind of sucked in this world where they have the book and lecture courses where you study Scientology. But there's also a process called auditing, which is probably what you heard about, you know, from like the media and stuff like that, where you're actually doing a spiritual counseling. So they ask you questions about your life and different other things. Again, later on when it becomes more controlling, they're asking you questions about your personal life. You're doing confessions. They can blackmail you with the material that you give them. But you know, Scientology says that they're basically a spiritual self-help group, but more importantly, that you are an immortal spiritual being. You are a spirit inhabiting a body. So they say you've lived millions of lifetimes before. So in these counseling sessions, you can recall past lives. And they say that you have two parts of your mind, the analytical and reactive mind. And the reactive mind has all your fears, your pains, your upset, anything bad that happens to you stores in this reactive mind. And through this spiritual counseling, you can get rid of that reactive mind. So then you're just operating as a being, they would say, without any sort of fears, pains, any like ill feelings you have, depression, anxiety, it's all gone with this reactive mind. So to me, this idea that I'm no longer held back from my past failures and troubles, that was really intriguing and what sold me on this idea of Scientology.
Actor, YouTuber Stephen Mango joining us here on KMOX, ex-Scientology activist now. You were in it for 4 years. What made you get out?
that's kind of a loaded question in a way, because there's many different things. But one of the first things that was going on was they would start running up my credit cards and debit cards and everything without my authorization. Because they run on statistics, for example. So they need to bring in a certain amount of money into the church every single week. So, for example, if they have $1 million quota and these different staff members get in trouble, they have a prison program where they put their staff members who don't perform. So basically these staff members do anything to get the money, you know, bottom line. It's all about the money. You know, you hear about like, oh, Scientology is expensive. There's nothing free inside Scientology. There's not one thing. You can't go in there like you said, normal church. You'd go in maybe and listen to a Sunday service. It's not like that. Everything in Scientology is based on levels. And you go up these different levels, and it's more expensive, and you have to donate towards their building. So you see these big, beautiful buildings. They're all paid for by the parishioners. The TV network they have now paid for by the parishioners. So it's very expensive. So the money aspect, the constant, I'm telling you, anytime you come out of the bathroom, you know, oh, we need money for this program. You go to, you know, have lunch. It's just like constant, constant, you know, pressuring for money. Of course, there's a big time requirement for it. And, you know, if you don't show up to course, there's this controlling aspect where they, you know, follow me to the grocery store. They show up to my house. And it was getting to the point where what is going on? But I guess what really tipped the scale, I guess, is that they're very homophobic and they're anti-gay. They believe that being gay is considered an aberration. So it's something, again, with this reactive mind theory that you can audit out the gay. They think that you can counsel a person out of their gayness, so to speak. And I was in the closet at the time, but I met my husband, my now husband, was my husband then, but we went on a date and we were talking about religion. And he asked, I don't know why on our first date we were talking about religion, but we were. And it came out that I was studying Scientology. And he's saying, Scientology, isn't that a cult? And they're against, you know, homosexuality, I guess you can say. And I'm like, well, you know, I can't read the newspaper as a Scientologist. They forbid you to read the news. You can't go on the internet because they're afraid people are going to find out what Scientology is. You're not allowed to Google Scientology when you're a Scientologist. So I was in this position where I was going to join their Sea organization. You sign a billion-year contract to devote your life to Scientology. And I was 6 weeks away from going to Clearwater, Florida, which is their spiritual mecca. Yeah. I was going to go there and join the Sea organization and become a full-time staff member and move out of L.A., everything. But my husband, basically, my boyfriend at the time, saved me from getting involved and opened my eyes up to what Scientology really is about at their core.
Wow. Wow. How did you get the money to give all of this? You said 4 years, $50,000 or something like that. I mean, was that just draining you of everything you had?
Everything I had, but, you know, they were taking out credit cards. Basically, they have what's called registrars inside Scientology. So they're the salespeople. And every Scientologist gives all your banking information. So you give all your Amex, Discover card, whatever. You give all your credit card, all your debit card banking info. And they'll check your accounts and stuff because they build themselves as like, we're helping you with your finances. But really, they're not helping you with your finances. They're looking for how much available credit you have. So, like I said before, they would hit my credit cards at 500 at a time, 1,000, 2,000, and they would just see how much they could wire off. And you would say, well, that's fraud. Why wouldn't you complain? Well, if I complain, then I'm giving up my spiritual eternity. I mean, maybe I'm a little naive that I didn't, but then you're cut off from all your friends, all your family members. Everything in my life was Scientology. You know, if you live with a Scientologist, work with them. If your partner is a Scientologist, you risk everything you have if you report Scientology, say, to the police. So for me, it wasn't an option. I was on their posters. I was a poster child in the sense where I'll send you a picture. You guys can Google Stephen Mango Scientology and see some of the different things from my past. But I was on all these posters saying there's never a better time than now to call yourself a Scientologist. And at that point, I was weeks away from escaping Scientology, and they were taking all my money. I was being locked in rooms. They would take my social security number, and they would all run it at the same time. There'd be like five guys in the room, and they'd all be running credit apps at the same time, with the thought being they didn't want to put in multiple applications one after another. They tried to all hit the bank at the same time to try to see if they can get me like five credit cards all at the same time.
Even if they didn't get the money
right away, they say, well, we have to handle the banks. And my registrar, I've tried to talk to American Express and other institutions about this. They have people they claim higher up in American Express that can underwrite and approve loans, for example. So they have people that work that are Scientologists that they call a direct line that can basically put through a certain dollar amount, because those Scientologists think it's for the greatest betterment of society. If we work for the bank and we underwrite a loan for this Steve Mango kid for 20 grand, it's helping our church. It's not going to be right by American Express standards, obviously. Yeah. So we've been kind of working on trying to figure out how to work with these banks to, you know, shut down their accounts with Scientology. But there's just so much that goes on, and people really wonder, like, is this kid an idiot? Or, like, why would he give so much money? And, you know, your listeners and other people have to see that it's, you know, either you're at a weak point in your life, maybe you're even not, maybe, you know, you're a celebrity and you get involved into this, like, culture of Scientology, and it's just so alluring, and they promise you everything. They overpromise almost in a way and underdeliver in the way that, you know, these courses were by a, you know, 1950s science fiction writer, you know, but they promise you that, you know, this could really help you in your life, in your career. And I was young, and, you know, I really trusted that they had my best interest at heart. So it's just so crazy how, you know, you go from a $50 course to $50,000.
Unbelievable. Yesterday, the Church of Scientology launched their own television network. I was curious because I never have actually talked to someone who is either a Scientologist or used to be a Scientologist. And that's who we're joined with our guest tonight, Stephen Mango. You can find him on Twitter. You can find him on YouTube. He's an actor as well, has appeared in some Scientology documentaries. We continue with Stephen, his experience of what really goes on inside the church, coming up next on Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120, KMOX. Depend on it.
Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Thanks for joining us here on Overnight America, joined by Stephen Mango. He's a actor, a personality on YouTube. You can search for Stephen Mango Scientology, where he actually talks about his experiences from inside the Church of Scientology, where he spent 4 years there, and his experiences of how he got out, which will continue our discussions here on Overnight America. Well, one other question for you is, what happened after you left? Did it seem like they bothered you? Because sometimes you hear those stories of they follow you around.
Yeah, I was being followed. Like I said, that, you know, I wasn't showing up for a while because I was trying to figure out what I believed and what was going on. Because, you know, it's really traumatic, everything I was going through. And, you know, they'd show up to my home late at night. They'd show up, you know, the grocery store. They'd show up to the mall. Like, anywhere I would be, a Scientologist would just happen to be there, happen to be talking to me. But, like, an actual church staff member, not just, like, another parishioner. It was, like, an actual staff member trying to get me to come back. Like, come with us right now. Like, we can go right now to the church. Like, I was on their posters at that point, so of course there was a lot of pressure, because where's the kid on the posters? You know, he's like he's on the face of, you know, our organization. Where is this kid? So there's a lot of just worry about where I was and stuff like that. So, you know, I left, and then I said, you know what, I'm not going to let this happen to someone else. I'm going to speak out about it. So I made a video on YouTube thinking I'm maybe talking to, you know, a couple other Scientologists, maybe to show them, like, kind of like the out points, like the negative things that were going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, it got like 800,000 views or something like that. I'm like, well, maybe, you know, this is something that I should continue to do. And so many people all around the world essentially were writing to me. And I did a documentary with Louis Theroux in the BBC called My Scientology Movie. You guys can see that on, like, Netflix. I appear in that, and I work with Louis Theroux to expose Scientology with the BBC. So, you know, it's just been kind of my mission to help other people see what really happens in this organization, because, like, their TV network has all these videos that are like, Scientology is helping people all over the world, and we go to disaster sites, and their TV network that they just started is trying to paint this picture that they're this, you know, altruistic organization, when really they're harming so many people. And it's not just me, there's thousands of people who have had these type of experiences. It happens every single day. People write to me every day. This isn't something that happened years ago. This is something that's happening right now, that you know anyone listening, this could happen to a loved one, a family member. You have to, you know what goes on in this organization to steer clear of their manipulation tactics, and that's what I kind of try to expose on the internet.
Yeah, so you do some videos on this too, and you said you can just go to youtube.com. You can search for your blog, or you can actually just search your name, Stephen Mango Scientology, and see some of the videos and discussions which you heard here today. And people want to reach out to you. They can find you on Twitter. Stephen Mango is your handle, or on YouTube. You're pretty accessible. I mean, we were able to talk yesterday and set this up for today. I'm glad you're doing this. I think it's important what you're doing, and hopefully you're finding more and more people reaching out to you, and maybe you're helping more people, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's just my mission. You guys, you know, obviously can see me on YouTube, Stephen Mango Scientology, like you said, at Stephen Mango Online. I help people pretty much every single day. So if you have a loved one or someone you're concerned about, I tell people you can always reach out to me and get advice on how to kind of handle the situation. Because, again, Scientology is a very interesting, we can say, organization to deal with. And it's very tricky. It's not as easy as just walking out the front door. There's a lot of manipulation and psychological tactics. So I expose it on YouTube. You guys can check it out. Stephen Mango Scientology. Again, I'm in Louis Theroux's documentary, My Scientology Movie. That's on Netflix if you guys want to see more about what Scientology does to people. And yeah, thanks so much for having me on today.
Great. Stephen Mango, thank you so much. Appreciate the time here on KMOX.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You know, he joins us on the Goodwill guest line. If you missed any of that interview, just go back to the KMOX.com podcast section. You can listen to it back on there once it's posted, which will be here pretty soon, in fact. So you can get it from there. You know, I'm monitoring what's going on in Pennsylvania. There's the race that CNN made it sound like it was as important as the next president of the United States election coming up here in 2020. But right now, they're not going to call a winner in Pennsylvania. They say it's too close to call. You have the Democrat Lamb and the Republican Saccone both tied at close to 49.5 to 49.9%. The advantage going to Lamb right now with 99% of the ballots in. So what they're doing is going to be, I guess, waiting to do all of the other ballots that are there. The margin is so close, they don't want to call it until they, I guess, count all of the absentee ballots that were out there. Pretty crazy. So it's going to come down to maybe tomorrow we'll know. And we're talking about literally only a few hundred votes separate them right now. Lamb might have an 800 vote. Yeah, a difference. 847 votes between the two. Super close in these elections. I was having CNN on in our room where I was preparing for the show earlier tonight, and I was listening to the panels, and they were all speculating about this one race, this one congressional House race in Pennsylvania. And boy, oh boy, they made it sound like it was going to be the biggest race in the history of American politics. And if the Republican loses, it's bad news for Trump. If the Republican wins, it's still bad news for Trump. If the Democrat wins, it goes to show you that they're going to sweep in the midterm elections. There was doom and gloom from CNN. If they have any updates here through the night, I'll let you know. I'm sure CBS News will be reporting it too. All right, there's something I found on KMOX.com earlier today that I want to talk about. It's one of the grossest things I've ever seen in my life. So apparently there's a thing called the family cloth. People are using, it's gross. People are reusing toilet paper, but they're creating it out of cloth. So it's like you use it, you wash it, you clean it, you put it back out to use again. This can't be real. People don't do this, do they? But I want to know, what are the things you reuse over and over again? Please don't say toilet paper. What are the things you reuse forever? I'll take some of your calls on that next. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Cardinals preseason exhibition play continues tomorrow as they take on the Astros. Pregame 11:55, first pitch 12:05. Here it's streaming live on Cardinals.com.
I got two stories here. I seriously don't know which one's worse. I'm going to start with the one that I think is not as bad as the other one, but I really don't know. This is a story on KMOX.com. People are horrified by reusable toilet paper called the family cloth. Come up with a different name, please. I'm not mature enough to handle this topic. The family cloth. It, instead of toilet paper, they believe it's more economical, eco-friendly. You're going to save money in the environment by using the family cloth. It's probably exactly what you imagine it in your head. I want you to imagine, like, you know how articles of clothing or towels, they go bad after a while. And then I'll say to my wife, here, I'll take it. I can use it as a rag inside of the garage. And, when I'm working on the car, I'm working at something, my hands get a little greasy, I'll just wipe my hands off. You know, kind of helps so I'm not tracking a lot of stuff inside the house. So instead of doing that, apparently they're ripping these things up and they're using it as toilet paper.
and then they're washing them and reusing them. I'm sorry if I'm laughing. This sounds so ridiculous, but people apparently people do this. I don't know if they're lying and they just say they do it to, for attention, or they really do it. So, yes, it's a piece of fabric you wipe your backside with, then wash and reuse. A mother of two recently spoke to BuzzFeed about how her family is making the money-saving option work. I don't care how poor you are. You can afford toilet paper. All right, seriously, be honest. Anyone listening right now, what do you reuse over and over again that people make fun of you for? Is there something you continue to reuse and people say to you, just throw it away and get a new one? And you say, no, I'm going to reuse this forever. In my family, it's those stupid Tupperware things. We got about 1.5 million of them in a drawer. When you buy lunch meat anymore that's not from the deli counter, they come in these little Tupperware containers. We save them all for things. Like, I got Tupperware containers everywhere in the garage holding all kinds of different screws and nuts and bolts and, you know, little things that I feel like maybe one day I'll need it. As opposed to actually buying an organizer, I've been using Tupperware for everything, you know, because, I don't know, maybe I'm cheap. But never once have I ever considered the family cloth. I know some parents that use the cloth diapers with their kids because diapers are expensive. And it's kind of the way this they described it to me was they have this rubber diaper and then you put the cloth inside the rubber. And then once the baby soils the diaper, you're supposed to shake it out in the toilet, put it in a bag. And then there was a service they send it to that washes it and brings you new linens. Like they do all the washing. Nope. Not doing it. Not doing it. Not shaking it out in the toilet. But that's just a whole different thing. These are adults using it. So, like, here's what the mother of two said. In my mind, buying and using disposable toilet paper was literally flushing money down the toilet. You probably waste so much on little frivolous things in your life that you can afford to drop that before the toilet paper. Please don't tell me that you're so poor right now that you have to cut out toilet paper in order to make it. You tell me, is there anything that you reuse over and over again that people criticize you for or that you know you shouldn't be reusing? And please, please, if there's anyone that uses the family cloth, you got to tell me. Seriously, you have to call in. The number 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, people are going crazy online about this, as they rightfully should. This is one of the most disgusting things I can imagine. So what do? You just have like a little, do you have like a bucket or a little container where you just like drop it in? It's got to smell great. Essentially, this is kind of like, yeah, then you got to wash everything and sanitize everything. You know how bad this sounds? Even people that live in a tiny home would say that's crazy. You know, in a tiny home, a little house that they put on a trailer that you'd normally carry a four-wheeler on, they build a home off of that trailer bed. And then they don't have plumbing, so they have a bucket they use for their, you know, bathroom stuff. Even that is less gross than the family cloth. Here's what the mom said when in response to the people that are criticizing her. Do you throw away your underpants after each use? What are you doing in your underwear? Wait, what? No. Do you soil your underwear after every use too? The family keeps clean pieces of fabric on top of their toilet. They all look the same. So it's not some that have anything, you know, it's not like some people have the extra soft clothes and some people have the rough clothes. There's a basket on the floor to leave the used cloths in. Normal toilet paper is in the bathroom when guests visit. No one does this. Really? I got to hear from Joe calling in. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, I just had a comment. The first condoms made were actually made out of cloth and reusable. It was kind of like when they were first around. But just
really?
Kind of funny you were talking about reusable toilet paper.
What year was that?
Yeah, look it up. Look it up.
No, what year was that?
I don't know. I just remember somebody telling me about it. But, yeah, do some research and look it up. They were reusable cloth condoms.
I'm afraid to Google it in the company computer for them to come back and say, why were you Googling this? I don't know, well, Joe. Maybe. I'm skeptical about that one.
I'll do some research and send it in.
All right. Well, yes, go ahead and send it in. I'll have some answering to do to the IT staff later. Hey, thank you, Joe.
All right, bye.
314-436-7900. Here's the mom again. The woman explains that the family cloth is actually only used after going in number one in their house. So apparently there's different levels of commitment. Yeah, we only use it if we have to. No number twosies. Oh, my goodness. I have no problem with some cloth sitting in a day in a hamper, but I definitely not want cloths with some big smears of you-know-what going in that. A study by the Scientific American states that Americans use approximately 36.5 billion rolls of toilet paper a year. That destroys about 15 million trees. So you can say the family cloth could be more eco-friendly, I guess. But no. I'm sorry, you know, those 15 million trees, it was worth every single one of them to not have to use the family cloth. And why do they got to call it a family cloth? Why can't they just call it the bathroom cloth or something? Because the family cloth makes it sound like wholesome. Oh, it's like the Waltons use the family cloth. Nope. So that one's pretty bad. Here's another story that I found that's almost as equally as bad. It's I would say maybe even worse than the family cloth. This is out of the Mirror in the UK, but I think this happened here in the United States in South Carolina. Her name is Kaylee Muthart, straight A student, decided to start drinking, smoking weed, and then found a joint laced with methamphetamine when she was 20 years old. It made her feel closer to God. After being diagnosed with bipolar disorder and having a mental breakdown, she sought to have her first experience last summer again and again, and the consequences were pretty bad. In February, she was at a church service. Apparently, she loved smoking weed, and she loved putting that methamphetamine inside of it because it made her feel closer to God. And she felt like she needed to sacrifice her eyeballs at the church service. So while she was there, whacked out of her mind, she began hallucinating, she said. And she remembers thinking that someone had to sacrifice something important to right the world, and that person was me. Now, if you're squeamish, I'm sorry, but she pushed her thumb, pointer finger, and middle finger into each eye, grabbed, twisted, and pulled it out of her head, popping each out. She said it felt like a massive struggle, and she said she no longer can see after that. She continued to hallucinate, and she was squeezing them to the point where they couldn't save her eyes. Now she is blind for the rest of her life. Terrified people inside the church saw this and flipped out. How would you react seeing someone like that? They're in the front row, start pulling their eyes out. Oh, my. So they immediately try to get her help. They try to get her 911 or whatever it was. She spent a week in the hospital. They tried to do what she could, but there wasn't anything. She mutilated her eyes after pulling them out. Now she wants to warn others about the dangers of meth. And now she's trying to get people to buy her a service dog. Like so many, I fell victim to the dangerous reality of methamphetamine. She says at least she has her memories, and as time progresses, with some support, she'll understand that, you know, maybe things aren't so bad without sight. Yikes. That's crazy. I really don't know what's crazier, the family cloth or a girl on meth pulling her eyes out of her face right inside of a church service. It's a toss-up. You can flip a coin for something like that. Chris Raby coming up next. We're talking bracket madness. You got your bracket filled out? Ooh, he's going to give you some tips. And he's back from Florida, so we'll talk to him about that too. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.